GPS, I appreciate showing address.
All right, guys, we're gonna go ahead and get started. It's 6:00. We'd like to welcome you out tonight to the Daniel Town Council meeting, Monday, July 7th, 2025, at 6:00 PM at the Wasatch County Services Building. Conference room B, 55 South, 500 East, Heber City, Utah. And like I say, just welcome y'all here tonight. We're glad to see y'all. We'll go ahead and get right after this. Agenda item number one is public comment. And so we'll open that up. If anybody has public comment, if you'll come up to the podium and state your name. It's easier for us to keep track of this and the record of this when you do that. So feel free to come on up.
I don't know any of you guys, but I'm Barbara Johnson. I'm her next door neighbor, Stephanie Grady. So I'm right on 3000 South. So I've heard of that. I think you're Eric Lumper.
I am.
Yeah, I talked to your wife. So I'm just up here in the summer, and I just love Daniel, just so you know. You had a ranch back here in the 90s, and anyway, so I love it here. But I did want to address one item, well, a couple items. That street light's out again. I don't know if they shoot it out. You know, at Ranch Drive and 3000, it's nice to have, because you'd have that long stretch. It's nice to have that light up there. And I talked to Mary Duggan about it. I see him when I'm walking my dog in the mornings. But it would be nice for this. And then I've taken my tractor and fixed the sign on TN Come and Ranch Drive. It's leaning. It's got an insert, but it's loose. I don't know if you have an engineering that could, because you can't even hold it. Like, I got rocks around it, so I hate to see it fall.
The county comes and fixes those for us.
Will the county fix those?
When we report it.
Yeah, because they're going to have to put another sleeve or something. I don't know what. And then
the power company will come
and they'll come to, oh great, that's good. And then just one other item, I don't know if we can do anything about it, but those kids, the speeders along 3000, as you guys will, Eric, you live on 3000, I mean, you can hear them across the whole valley. I don't know, just at our place of work, we always asked the police if they were just doing their paperwork, if they could hang out at night there instead of having to pay for something. I don't know, it'd be nice if one of, do you know, you guys know if any of the deputies live up by here? By Daniel or anything?
And are you specifically talking about the little roadster cars or whatever that they call
them? Well, I've heard,
mufflers
and they're loud. I mean, have you guys heard it? Like, you can hear it.
Cannot not hear it.
Right.
Yeah, there's an officer that lives on that street.
Oh,
he works
does.
For the camp. Yes. His last name's Price.
Right on 3000?
Right on that.
He works for Heber City.
Heber City.
Is he a city officer?
Yeah, he's okay. A city officer.
He's a code enforcement officer for Heber City.
But if he sees a speeder, can he do anything?
Yes.
So, I mean, I don't want to cut you off, but I'll just address a couple of these items. We'll make the phone calls, the appropriate phone calls,
yeah,
to get the sign fixed and the light fixed. I was on the phone this last week with Sheriff Rigby, and I did ask him to up the patrols on 3000 South due to the speed that is on 3000 South. I'm not going to take the time to read the response that I got from him, but he said that he would patrol that more often and make sure that he gets that put on.
I think you just keep touching base with them,
correct,
and they know there's an issue.
Yep. Yeah. And I have actually seen this last week, I have seen a few trucks driving up and down 3000 South, so deputy trucks. So we'll keep an eye on that. I mean, it doesn't hurt to, like you say, every
so often
giving a call.
Oh, I've seen some of those big county trucks too coming out, and they're going quick, because I read my bike warning in the morning, and I'm like, really, dudes? They should know better too.
Yeah. There's some kids on motorcycles that are riding wheelies from one end to the other.
All the way around.
So we have made the appropriate phone calls to address these items. And, well, it's very seldom that we're ahead of anything, but we...
It's a great town.
Yep, I do know that I have contacted Sheridan Rigby last week, so...
Okay, well, that's all I had.
Hey, thank you.
What's your name again?
Oh, sorry, Barbara Johnson.
Thank you.
And as a side note on that, Scott, this week, Sheriff Rigby did the Facebook news, was on the corner of Little Sweden and Mill Road. He highlighted the intersection and speed limits on both roads in the Facebook public announcement this week.
Is that going to be for the sheriff?
Yeah, the sheriff does the Facebook thing out and around the county, and it was our turn this week.
Okay.
Anybody else? Public comment? Okay. Let's go, appreciate your comments, thank you. Let's go to agenda item number two. Agenda item number two is a public hearing for commercial condominium projects for possible code adoption. So I'll call for a motion.
Make a motion to reopen the public hearing on condominium projects.
Call for a second.
A second.
Okay, call for a vote.
Walton, yes.
Kohler, yes.
Bennett, yes.
Okay, so what, I'll just briefly talk about this. And then I may have to have Eric jump in and help me. But back in November, the Planning Commission had a public hearing about commercial condominiums. Basically, we're talking about the NECO storage building out on Highway 40 and Little Sweden Road. The Planning Commission held a public hearing and took public comments, and then the Planning Commission sent a letter to the council, which it slipped off the agenda. It's basically what happened. So as we were reviewing minutes and reviewing minutes from past meetings, we found that this had slipped off the council agenda. And so we put that back on for public hearing tonight, and we're going to discuss this. This comes with an approval from the Planning Commission, and basically there's a document right there in front of the council members, and I'm more than willing to let you guys read this. Eric, why don't, in a nutshell, why don't you just sum this commercial condominium project up?
Come here, then.
Sure. Go up to the podium.
While he's coming up, what was the consensus of the Planning Commission on this?
They recommended that we approve it.
And these are the changes, the recommended changes?
Yes.
So the state of Utah is the one that regulates this. And so what we've done is we've taken the state code. We can be more strict than the state code. We can't be less strict. So what we did is we went through the state code. Mr. Turnell had his attorney draft this new code that he wants adopted in the town. We did put some limits on it. Only in the commercial area would this be allowed. And if there's a residential component, in other words, if there's an apartment in one of the buildings, it would disqualify it from being commercial condominium. So you'll see the little strip malls out and about. What they do is they usually rent those out, and what they will, this would allow them to do is sell them. So it'd be a big building, and they would sell off the individual units to different owners. So that's what this would allow to have happen based on the things that we could see. Is that what you wanted to know?
And I want you to stay right there and field any question that is asked from the public or from the council.
Okay.
If you would. And we'll open it up to questions and comments, so.
How much more paperwork, liability, et cetera, does the town take on if we adopted this?
From the planner standpoint, I think it's quite burdensome on the town, just from the point of administering this. Right now, it's just not allowed in the town. So we have no administration, it's just no. I think if we get several owners come in, like we have there at the Trinell Place, we have a fence contractor, we have now a truss for a building contractor. We have all these different owners, and right now we have one point of contact, which is Trinell. And he has tenants, he has to comply, make them comply for his license. So he's licensed as the landlord of that building. So I think it more than doubles our administration fees. And we don't have full-time administration, so I think it's quite burdensome to the town.
Yeah, and I tend to agree with you, Eric. I mean, why should we, I don't know how many possibilities that he could have there as far as individuals that own sections of that building, but why would we want to put the burden on the town to us to regulate all the things that's in that condominium thing with the state? I mean, I've read quite a bit of it, and it's pretty cumbersome, and there's a lot of regulations and stuff that why would we burden the town with that when he's the building owner and he would be responsible?
Yeah, the pages from the state, that state code is about 43 pages long from the state is what that reads. And it's written by lawyers. And I think you actually need a lawyer to fill it out correctly. But that also puts a burden on the town of having those reviews through our attorney. So,
did the Planning Commission find some benefit for the town?
The benefit was that if they was able to sell those, they'd have long-term tenants, and so the sales tax revenue may be more stable.
Explain how it would work if two of the tenants got into a conflict, maybe fugitive smells or other kinds of things that somebody's doing that's creating a nuisance for somebody else in the building. The whole concept of insurance, how if I do something wrong but it affects my property because I'm adjoining somebody, and they do something that causes a fire and now my property's been burned down as well. And, I mean, I can just see a number of issues. Can you explain how, for example, issues of conflict between the two tenants will be resolved?
So if this passes, we will have owners, and that will come back to the town. So you'll be in the middle of that conflict between the two owners rather than going to Trinell and having him deal with the two owners and having the ability to, I mean, offensive smells, noises, I mean, all these things we're talking about, it all goes under the code, and the town would have to address those violations.
It makes us kind of almost like the owners in that we then have to assume a more responsibility than we otherwise would if the building wasn't coming.
That is my opinion, yes.
That's my opinion, too.
But if it relinquishes the owner, it relinquishes a lot of responsibility that he should have as owner of the building and forces it onto the town, and we have to be in the middle of anything that, you know, litigation, anything that was to happen. It costs money to the town.
Right. And a special note on this project is our code 821 speaks about commercial uses that are up against residential, so there's a higher threshold that they have to meet so that they're not interrupting the life around this commercial project. So we have additional setbacks. We have all kinds of different things that restrict so that they're not imposing on somebody else's property right to enjoy their property. So that's always the balance we have, their property rights versus somebody else's property rights. and that's the balance that the town has. And that's why the Bill of Rights was written, so that we don't overstep that, right?
So what were the benefits?
Possibly longer and more beneficial tax revenue to the town. And they thought that it would be less of a turnover because of the longevity of those tenants. And so, and we have some people there on the Planning Commission. Was there anything else that I may have missed?
I don't really remember the conversations. So it's good you have it written down.
Yeah, so there was, it was not unanimous, but it did pass. But
my understanding is the licensing of the businesses that he would allow in there, they would still have to come before the town for the business, or was, because he wouldn't be over the control of the licensing of the businesses.
No, the town's over
that's
the licensing,
right.
Yeah.
So,
either way.
Yeah, either way.
Yeah, if you're doing commerce in the town, you have to have a business right. In the town.
So we would have a way to keep tabs on what's in and out of that building.
You mean with the business license?
Yeah.
What to a point.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Can you tell me who is petitioning for this right of condominium rising? Is it the owner or is it the renters?
This is the owner. Nephi Turnell had a Gordon law firm draft up this document you're looking at. And then the Planning Commission made those changes to that document for a better fit for the town of Denman.
So we're not hearing so much a hue of cry from the people who are renting for this to happen.
We've only had, I think, one tenant even look at that.
Are you referring to the people who was going to take the bottom half of the building at that one time?
Well, no, there's one other one that's in there that would like to purchase.
How many units are there?
So there was going to be four, but they've split some of those up. Me and Scott was out there, and there was one had three different businesses in the one unit. They had built walls and subdivided it. And so there was three in one unit. And then on the other end, they've rented two. So one rent has two of those units, so. And then, of course, upstairs is all storage for Nephi Turnell. So that's his storage. He's kept that as a primary tenant upstairs for his storage.
There is, right now, there is another tenant working in there to get his office done in there. Kyun Design. He's a architect and an engineer, and he's got in the one end. There are some people that are interested in renting up there and using that space. So,
and even that unit that Scott's referring to, they will sublease out some of those offices, so there will be a main tenant, but then it will be sublet.
Can we point to other buildings in Montreal? A case in point, down here where our engineering firm used to, still has their offices, but no longer really. There's quite a space of businesses in there.
It is not. It's owned by one owner and rented out.
Do you know of any others that are on this route?
There are some in the county that do that. There are some in the county.
Mike Peterson has a bunch over there by the liquor store. Those buildings were all, those are all condominiums.
They're all condominiums.
Yeah, Heber City allows that.
And then the one that is by the building by the car wash there where you just stop by Walmart, that's a condominium.
Where the
bank is.
Credit Union is, or what?
Yeah, the Credit Union, but there's a building right next to it.
Revere Healthcare.
The car wash.
Yeah, yes.
Is that within the same building, or are they separate?
They're separate. Yeah.
Which is probably easier to administer if you have a separate building. When you have this all within one, it's where do you draw the line? It's hard to, in my opinion, it's hard to regulate.
Are we up against some type of a time deadline to make a decision here?
We are not.
I would really like to go out and talk to other individuals that maybe you could help us identify who have gone this route and and see if we've got some good examples of maybe we're missing something. But it seems like to me, I understand the advantage of having consistent ownership, but having them all in one building just seems to be, I mean, an HOA works because everybody else is in their separate, well, they this just seems to me like a town works.
Yeah, and that's a great example. The town doesn't administer HOA, HOAs administer HOAs. So they handle that, and the town's not involved with that. So when those issues come up before the town, they're like, that's a homeowners association deal, not a town issue. So that's a great,
And somebody else educated me, how does insurance work on something?
So if they own it, if the shell of the building's still there, but they actually will divide that building, and they'll have to carry their own insurance.
Sometimes the HOA handles the entire building.
Well, the main owner insures the building, the shell, and then each person that owns it.
So he still stays involved.
He still has to have insurance.
It's just like somebody renting a house.
Yeah. And
the
then,
house is insured, but they have to have renter's insurance to cover the
property. He owns the shell, or what does he own?
He would own the shell. If his building burnt down, he would have to have that insured, so that if a tenant's office caught on fire and burned it down, he's got to have insurance for the whole building, and then each tenant has insurance.
If it's a condo, the HOA is more involved in that.
Right.
It's not quite that simple.
It would seem like to me that if he sold the building piecemeal to all of these additional tenants,
he would just be part of the HOA.
He's just one of the renters then.
He's one of the potential owners. In addition to five or however many others.
But he's going to carry the insurance for everybody else.
No.
I'm assuming. I know if I own that building,
he doesn't own the whole building if it's a condo.
Yeah.
That changes everything.
Yeah.
Once they're sold, that is.
And so if somebody else burns down my portion of the building, I just see that as being something that's just going to be
something. What HOAs are for.
Yes, maybe something.
Any other comments from the public?
I would like to make a motion. Oh, I guess we need to go out of public here.
I'll call for a motion. Eric, thank you.
Okay, just personally, I'm against this.
Thanks, Eric. Smart man.
I move we, unless there's other comments, I move we leave the public hearing.
Okay. Call for a second.
Second.
Okay, call for a vote.
Walton, yes.
Kohler, yes.
Yes.
Okay, now we'll call for a motion again.
I would like to move that we table this item until we can find out. It seems like there's some gray areas that I'm just not really comfortable with right now. And I would like to also get a better feel for just exactly what you commented on. I guess if he still has a portion of that building, but he only is going to insure that portion, I'd just like to know how the rest of those issues get resolved. And I'm sure there are places where this is working. And Eric, maybe you can help us, either through the league or somebody else, find some examples of how commercial condominiums situation work. And maybe, again, we're just missing a whole lot, and maybe they're great. But I would really like to move that we table this item until we can do a little more.
Okay.
For at least, I'm guessing, 2 months, which is what I think we'll probably need to.
Yeah. And I think we will find some great examples of it working, where they have a full-time administration.
Exactly. Planning and zoning staff, building staff,
right.
Everybody else that's going to be there to help oversee and administer, which basically is not our case.
Not us, yeah.
I can tell you, Robin, I owned a business, and there was a condo like this. And it was in Orem, and there were five different buildings. Each building had three or four tenants that owned their individual space. There was an HOA for all 20 of the owners. And we had to do things like, there was insurance on the buildings through the HOA, then each business had their own insurance. We dealt with replacing roofs together, all kinds of things that you would do in a homeowner's association.
Repaving the parking lot or sealing?
Repaving the parking lot, the HOA had to do all of that. But that's allowed in Orem, like Eric says, they have people to take care of it. I don't know, I've been looking at this for a year since it first came up, and I know how I want to vote. I don't want to table it, I just want to get it done.
Okay, well, you can put me down.
But that's up to you, so.
I'm just throwing out a motion, nobody has to second it, nobody has to.
I'm in agreement, we.
I'll call for a second, we've had discussion.
Okay.
I'll let you discuss, but then we'll call for a second.
I was just gonna say that basically the same thing that Eric said, we've looked at this for well over a year, and we've heard pros and cons, and in my mind, for various reasons of what was already stated, I don't see any postponement or for a couple more months where it's going to change the thinking of how it's going to be administrated if we did adopt the code. So I don't see the sense in carrying it down the road 2 more months.
I have one more question for Eric. Are there issues about them coming back and wanting to sue us because either A, we've got inadequate protection within our planning and zoning or our planning documents? Is there any reason that they would come back and cry foul because we oppose this?
Yes. I don't think they have valid reasons, but it doesn't take a valid reason to sue us.
Right, right. Especially with certain attorneys that we know can make things...
I absolutely believe the town does not have to allow this if they don't want it.
Okay, and we're standing on solid ground if we were to deny this request.
Correct.
So, nobody seconded my motion.
Well, we'll call for a second.
Oh, yes, you did.
We'll call right now.
Okay.
For a second call. On Robin's motion. That was 10 minutes ago. Do we remember the motion?
I remember the motion.
It was to table this for 2 months.
Yes, yes, yes.
Do I have a second? I'll second it. Can I do that? First time I've ever seconded a motion.
You can, but it's a...
It's great. Awkward.
Pretty sure it's not going to pass. You got 2-2.
I'd like to say, whatever.
Okay, let's vote on it.
Okay.
If you're seconding.
You got a second.
I'll say, call for a vote.
On his motion?
Yes.
Yeah.
Walton, no.
Kohler, yes.
Bennett, no.
Here's a yes. Doesn't pass. All right.
Does the motion need to be for an approval and then voted down, or for a denial and voted up?
You mean on the
approval.
On the code adoption?
Yes. I'll make a motion that we do not change the code or adopt this new condominium subdivision addendum. Does that make sense?
Do we have a number on that, Eric?
The code that we've written, just the number we pulled out, was 810-14.
810-14. But we do not adopt the changes.
I'll second that motion.
Call for a vote.
Walton, yes.
Kohler, yes.
Bennett, yes.
Pearson, yes.
Very good. They can't say it wasn't reasonably debated.
Amen.
Okay. Thank you. Let's go to agenda item number 3, which is a discussion of an extension contract to December of 2025 for Jones and DeMille Engineering Services. Basically what this is Dura called us and told us that they would no longer take small towns. They we went and found a new engineer, which is Jones and DeMille. We sat down with them and had a tentative budget and a tentative contract with them. As we're now 6 months into this, and we're looking at a few things. It appears that based on what's going on in the town of Daniel right now, that we're going to need to increase the dollar figure on that around $30,000. And so basically what this document sitting in front of you is basically explaining the engineering services that Jones and DeMille are providing for us, and making you aware that we are going to need to increase the amount of money that previously was discussed with Jones and DeMille, $30,000. And in our approved budget that we did last month, we put that number into that budget. Mary and Lynn had taken care of that, and that budget was approved last month. And so this document right here is basically making you aware of the additional $30,000 that are going to be, that will be needed for the engineering this year. So, Eric, do you have any comments about that?
And so we did have an estimate from Jones and DeMille, and I remember what you said about it. And yeah, this is probably the same feeling.
I have worked with Jones and DeMille on numerous other occasions in my career, but go ahead.
Yeah, so what this does is we took that amount and we put it in knowing that this was a trial period. So what the other $30,000 does is finish that contract till the end of the year, and then calendar year, and then we move forward, because the town year ends in June and July. That's our deadline. That's why we're behind half. And so at the end of the calendar year, we'll get a new contract for the entire year. Calendar year, but that's why this $30,000 additional is coming up.
In addition, we have hired Ryan, is that correct? And Ryan is providing some engineering, at least advice.
Yeah, consulting.
Consulting. So not only are we, looks like on the hook quite a bit to Jones and DeMille, but in addition, we've got Ryan on board, which should, in essence, I believe, have reduced over time our need for so much consultation from Jones and DeMille. And at one point in time, Mayor, you told us that there was an engineer that was living inside our town boundaries that may have expressed an interest in providing some consultation and engineering services to the town. Would you elaborate on that, any?
Yes, so Kyune Engineering, Tyson Mumford, he's actually the one that's doing one of the build outs up there in the NECO storage building. He has expressed interest in working with the town as far as permitting, building permits, stuff like that.
Advising on what other kinds of services are we leaning on Jones and DeMille for right now besides permitting?
Engineering. Basically everything.
Yeah, they're doing our GIS, they're doing all of our code check on all of our building permits. They're issuing the building permits.
So on this list of things that Jones and DeMille, we're under contract for them to provide, site and building permit reviews, is that something that Mumford could do?
Well, he's kind of limited on, and we really haven't sat down with him and had a in-depth conversation with him. He's trying to get his building up and get himself moved into that building.
Right. But I'm looking down the road as well. Right. We may have painted ourselves somewhat in the corner with Jones and DeMille, but I'm trying to look down the road and trying to find something that basically, I mean, they're in Richfield. Yes, they're here, but I guess a lot of the charges that they're charging us for is a huge amount of travel time.
Not hardly any. Everything's done over the phone.
They actually have an office in Orem, Pleasant Grove.
That's right down by Bureau's.
But how do we miss? We got their estimate on our budget, and how do we miss that by $30,000?
Well, we've had more permits than we ever thought we would have. It's been busy. So we've been really busy that way. And of course, we're spending more money, but we're bringing in more money. So we monitor that to make sure that we're not making money. We want to break even. That's what we're trying to do there. But going down that list, like you're saying, the building inspections, they don't have an inspector hired right now. Jones and DeMille has an inspector hired through Jones and DeMille. So they're doing our building inspections. That was even a problem for TO Engineering and Adura is because they were doing several towns, so they was actually able to hire one locally and to spread out. I mean, we don't have a lot of inspections, 2-3 a month.
Can we explore the possibility of contracting with one of the local municipalities with doing a building inspection with them?
Yeah, so we did, and we had the county doing those inspections, and the county manager put a stop to them.
What about Heber City?
We have not approached Heber City, but they're...
I know they have two inspectors on the payroll. Anyway, I'd just like to see us explore other alternatives because I think Jones and DeMille is a very large organization. And we're just a small cog in their overall scheme of things.
Well, and to answer your question, Robin, yes, we have talked to Tyson about that. And, you know, there's not been an in-depth conversation on that because he's trying to get...
Sure, get his business
get established and get up and...
But I guess I'm looking, if we're making a decision, I want to know how far this decision is going to carry us out. Because what's on the agenda today is just a discussion.
Correct. It's just a discussion.
We're not approving anything. It's just a discussion of whether or not to extend this contract. And I'd really like to sit down with, or I'd like you, Mayor, to sit down with Tyson and say, how can we, I mean, having an engineer who lives within your town boundaries, as we know with Ryan, was always a win-win. And I don't know, like I say, maybe Tyson doesn't want that business, and then we'll have to go back out. But the final point I want to make is we hired Jones and DeMille without soliciting requests from any other engineer.
Well, we hired them based on a recommendation from Ryan Taylor.
Right.
Normally,
when you hire go out for professional services, you put out an RFP, and we didn't do that. But I know. Water under the bridge.
And so there's just one thing I'd like to point out, Robin, that this is for $30,000, but it's hourly. We don't have to spend that $30,000. If we don't use that on the hourly wages, we won't approach that. This is just an estimate that we will reach that.
What was our engineering budget when Ryan was our engineer?
I don't know that right off the top of my head.
I don't think it was $75,000, but...
Yeah, I don't know.
I can't remember the figure myself, but we'll get that figure dug up for you.
But this estimate, $30,000, falls short or whatever, this only goes till the end of this year, in December.
Yeah.
So there's some time there to gather some ducks in the row and see what other, if there is another firm that we could save some money on. But
yeah.
We're not just saying they're going to get $30,000.
No.
It's based on their hourly rate.
We're just extending.
Yeah.
They've reached the $30,000 that we allowed with their hourly contract. So now we're going to extend another thing that they can continue to bill against. Because the way they do their books is they have that number, and then they bill against that. And that's when this came up. We're getting close to $30,000. So we need to extend that. So they, as they do their hourly stuff, they can, they have a, that's how they track progress on the permits and everything that they do. We've had some extraordinary things that's been going on with the lead and copper, and some individualized items that are outside of the scope of what we have here, but may bleed over a little bit as we move through those programs that the feds are making us jump through.
So Eric, correct me if I'm wrong, but we met with Ryan from Jones and DeMille. Was it last Friday?
That
when we met with Matt from Jones and DeMille. We've actually asked them if there was a way that we could have a different person working on our permitting and stuff, and they have put into process a gal, I can't remember what her name
is, Emily,
who will be working with the Daniel Town stuff at a lesser rate, so that we're not using Matt, or Ryan is the other guy, if I remember right, that's working with the town. And so we are exploring other avenues also with Jones and DeMille at the present time to try to work out a lesser billing person that's doing this stuff for the town of Daniel. And so we are pursuing other avenues also. I don't want you to just think we're opening up the coffers to them.
But I really think for some of these five bullet points, cited building permit reviews, building and site inspection, could be done possibly under contract with another municipality, which probably is maybe the majority of what we're paying Georgia for. That means they get in a car 5 miles away and are here, and under contract, just like we do with snow removal and other kinds of things, basically say, here's a contract. Are you interested? So I think somebody ought to open up a dialogue with Heber City and say, is there a possibility? If not, at least we've scratched every surface.
I'll take care of both those items, Tyson and Heber City. Okay, so we don't need to vote on that. That was a discussion about that.
It sounds like we may need to put it on our next agenda for approval.
Okay.
Are we up the end of the month, Jones and Mills? The end of the month?
We're just approaching that unit. He's out in front of it. We will not do that.
Okay.
Yeah, we're just approaching that. And Matt's out in front of that. Wanted to be in front of that with us. So that's what that letter was about.
Megan, will you make a note on that? We may need to approve this on next month's agenda.
Yep.
That $30,000. Mm-hmm. So if that doesn't slip through. Okay, let's go to agenda item number 4, which is the adoption of DR 2025-07-07, resolution of the certified tax rate for the fiscal year 2025-2026.
I move that we approve the proposed certified tax rate for 2025-26 for the town of Daniel.
Okay, call for a second.
Second it.
Okay, call for a vote.
Walton, yes.
Kohler, yes.
Yes.
Pearson, yes.
Just so you guys know what we just did, our tax rate in the town of Daniel is 0.000298, which total revenue is $55,547. Obviously, that'll be on the town minutes. You'll be able to access that on that. And that is the tax rate for us this year.
Huge windfall.
That's no change.
No change.
Oh yeah, we'll be gone.
Let's go to agenda item number five, which is business license renewals. We have Kohler Custom Rifles. Jeremy Kohler builds custom rifles at his address of 106 West, 3000 South, Heber City, Utah. His mailing address is the same. He works in a shop out there in his backyard, and he does have a state license, and there has been no complaints against this business. And the other, I'm just going to do both of them because they're both renewals. The other one is CMC Ready Mix. Their physical address is 151 East, 1750 North. That's a Vineyard address. They didn't put their address of operation. Sorry, I don't know what that is. I can tell you right where it is, and I think you guys all know where it is. But there has been a few complaints filed against CMC Ready Mix, and Todd Cusick was here 2 months ago and addressed all of the complaints. I felt like he addressed all of the complaints from the public and from the council. And so basically these are renewals, and so if there's any questions about any of them, feel free to ask them.
So when he was here a couple months ago, it was suggested that they could spray water on the aggregate down there because of the amount of dust and stuff. And to this date forward, I have not seen any evidence of that.
I actually, and Gary, I'm not here to argue with you, but I saw that they had bought a water truck, and don't know if water's coming out of it, but I did see that they bought a water truck. And I will, that's what I'll add to that.
I just go by what I see in the air. So.
Do we have the right to add anything to their conditional use permit as part of their renewal of the business license process? Is that something legally that we can do? Like specify the landscaping more specifically, some of the things that we missed the first time around?
So you'd have to go back through the process to add items to that.
How does that process work?
So the town would call them up and say we need to review your
conditional
use.
So we need to keep that unrelated from their business license?
Correct.
Okay.
Correct, yeah. And this is something we've had discussions with the Planning Commission. I believe when we do conditional uses, we should put a review annually or biannually, whatever it takes, and review those conditional uses. Then we have that door open that we are able to review when up front. We have that in the document right now to call them in. It could be arbitrary and capricious.
Because we can't really put any conditions here. All we can do is say yes or no.
Approve the license. Yeah. But, Mayor, and I appreciate your keeping an eye on that, because I really believe that the grinding of that concrete, fugitive dust that comes from recycling the concrete and the aggregate that they're doing down there, by necessity has got to have some water on that. And because I just think along with that, it's a health issue. It really is.
I think, Robin, when they're actually crushing the concrete down there, they do have a water line run into their crusher. I haven't seen them crushing down there for a while. But you look around on Airport Road, and I'm not advocating for anybody. I'm just saying.
I'm not doing that.
I mean,
but I get up at 6 o'clock every morning. Guess what wakes me up?
The batch plant,
the slamming
of water, or what?
Everybody else can hear it too. If I can hear it at my house,
yep.
Todd said they were fixing that.
That's shaking the bucket.
Whatever it is that's.
And they're doing that at 10:30 at night.
It's just, it's 6 o'clock in the morning, serious. Every morning, I almost set my alarm clock by the slamming of whatever I thought was the sounding.
No, it's...
But it's the slamming of that bucket, knocking everything out so that it's clear that all the aggregate is coming out of that bucket. Just listen, and you'll be able to hear it too. It's, but there's got to be a solution there. There's got to be a way to soften that. There's got to be something there that...
Well, I think we need to start the process again on updating our station.
I'm not upset about their operation. It's just the unintended consequences sometimes of what now is reality. I think everybody would say, oh, yes. Even if I was the owner, I would say, man, I had no idea. At 6 o'clock in the morning, a mile and a half away, you can hear that. That truck or whatever it is slamming.
All I have to do is look out the front door, and if I see a red light, I know that's what they're doing. But to be fair, there is other dust stuff coming from other stuff processes going on there.
Very good comment.
Yes.
Yeah, you're right. It may be one of the other plants down there. But okay. I move that we approve the renewal of these two business licenses.
Okay, call for a second.
I second it.
Okay, call for a vote.
Walton, yes.
Kohler, yes.
Benny, yes.
Pearson, yes.
Okay, thank you.
As a side note, Scott, on that one,
okay.
I did check the address to make sure that they changed it to Daniel. And okay. Their address is 2363 South, 390 West, Daniel, Utah. So they have corrected that with the State Tax Commission is showing up as Daniel address.
Okay. Say that one more time.
2363 South.
63 South.
390 West.
390 West. Okay.
Mayor,
thanks.
While we're on this topic, has there been any additional movement on behalf of Geneva Law?
Yes.
What movement? Is it about movement? What is it?
The applicants have changed who's in charge and who we're dealing with. They've hired a different person that the town is directly connected with.
So we're starting over?
No, we're not starting over. We're trying to pick up because things were dropping.
So, but wait a minute. The comments that were made to the people that we were dealing with were very specific in terms of expectations. And I just want to make sure if we're handing this card off to somebody else, some other third party, that we get a chance to renew those.
I can tell you that the guy that Clyde Company has hired for Santa Clint is their planner, and he's come with a different set of questions. And we met with them in the office on Friday, and the guy that we was talking to was an environmental guy. And they've worked now with a planner now.
Did we get the right-of-way resolution resolved?
I don't know that it's resolved.
They've not provided us with any evidence.
No, just preliminary.
Just the four routes that they proposed a number of months ago, is that correct?
They
added more to that?
We should probably talk about it in their planning report.
Okay.
That's probably more.
Thank you. So let's go to agenda item number 6, which is Planning Commission meeting summary. I like this. Gary Waite, who is the planning chair, provides this, and I'm just going to read through this very quickly. It says, the report to the Daniel Town Council, Daniel Planning Commission meeting of June 18th, 2025. This is the summary. You guys probably have that, so I don't even need to read it.
Yeah, exactly.
So these are the things that the Planning Commission discussed in that meeting. There were four items. You can see that. And Gary submitted basically where each one of those items are sitting. And so... if you don't have any questions on that, Gary's not here and can't answer them, and I wasn't at the meeting, so I can't answer those. But number 2, the conditional use permit for Geneva Rock Plant was reviewed in that meeting. It was determined that it should be reviewed by legal counsel. Legal counsel is reviewing that, and not yet.
Done.
What's that?
They're done.
Oh, yeah.
it's been issued.
That's correct, because it came back from legal. We made some changes that the legal suggested, and then that was reviewed by Eric and Gary and myself and Mary Duggan and sent out.
So I guess I'm going to raise this issue again, because I remember specifically when we, the last time Janae Barak was in, we said this item is not moving forward until we approve a resolution of condition, I mean the right-of-way issue. And I specifically put an issue on there regarding the transport of aggregate that would not come in on 3000 South or any other Daniel roads as a condition of the condition. Is it on there?
I actually have a copy of that, and I'll give you a copy of that conditional use. The council, the planning commission issued that conditional use permit. I don't have any say in that.
They didn't issue it. It went by the planning commission, but they didn't issue the condition.
They issued the conditional use. That's a land use document, and the planning commission has the authority to issue that conditional use, and they did that.
So the issues that I just brought up, are they on?
I'll give you a copy of that, and I don't know if that's what you wanted on there.
We'll let you look at it.
Okay.
When we get there. Okay.
Great.
Agenda item number 7. There's been 3 policies prepared for council approval, specifically addressed in the annual fraud risk assessment. Cash receipt and deposit, credit card policy, and procurement policy. That stretched me. But there's a copy of each one of those. Mary has been working with Ben on our fraud risk assessment, and basically these 3 policies were prepared for the council. We reviewed these, and basically you have a copy of each one of them, and we needed to do that to come into compliance with our fraud risk. So
when did these get prepared, Mayor? This is the first time I'm seeing them.
They got prepared this week, last week. They've been in your email for
one day
at least. So Mary sent them in, and Mary's not here tonight to address that. So do you know anything about these?
We just got some templates from the state auditor. This was their wording, what they recommended, and we adjusted as we saw fit to fit our town. It does make our score better on that fraud risk assessment. So
I just had a couple of comments about verbiage or some of it.
That'd be great.
So let's see, the procurement policy. 6D talks about invitation. All invitations for sealed bids shall be published at least once in a newspaper. So looks like we're not going to have a paper newspaper any longer. So we should either take that out, change it.
Okay.
I recommend we just change it to publishing it on our town website.
Okay.
I don't know if legally we have to do more than that, but I don't know where else we would do it, because there's no sense publishing it in Provo or Park City or something.
Well, it is up for sale.
I think they announced this week is their last issue, unless someone buys it and takes over. I don't think that's very likely to make money on selling papers anymore. This is kind of a picky thing, but on the cash receipt and deposit policy, number 1, the term on the first line, all funds received are entered into the accounting system as soon as possible. That's very open-ended. We also put a maximum number of days on that, like 10 days or something. And number two, the last sentence, the treasurer's office checks the deposit in the accounting system and takes funds to the bank. That should be something more like deposits in the town's bank account.
Which one are you talking about?
Right here.
Number two.
And then under deposits, the treasurer, number one needs the same revision. The mayor's okay with it. And then the last thing is more of a question. That is on the backside, deposits by clerk's office.
Hang on a second.
Sure.
So, correct me if I'm wrong, but our water secretary takes the payments that she receives, deposits them into the bank, and then takes a receipt to Sherry, who is the treasurer, and she reconciliates the deposit.
That's how I do it. So
yeah, and that's how you do
it
also.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I thought. That's how I thought that worked. And so...
You deposit at the bank?
I do the deposit, and I take the receipt to Sherry.
And then the receipts go to... So she deposits, and Emily deposits, and take the receipt of that deposit to Sherry. And then Sherry does all the accounting and all of the book work with the deposits weekly.
Wow, that's a red flag to me.
Okay.
The person getting the funds should not be making a deposit.
Okay.
The person that collects those funds should be giving them to the town treasurer for them to make the deposit.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
If there's any issue with that deposit, you don't have a second set of eyes looking at that deposit.
Okay.
And that could potentially put somebody in a bad spot.
Correct. That's why I mentioned the way it was being done. So when we word that on this, we need to make sure that the wording on that is correct. On the way, because here it says the treasurer's office checks the deposit in the accounting system and takes the funds to the bank.
If there's something on a check that doesn't look right, Sherry should be the one that sees that and says, no, there's an issue. And that way there it's not hung up on somebody else that's making that deposit.
Right. So I'm going to make a note.
I would be scared if I was in that position.
I'm going to make a note right here on that, but we take care of that. Okay, and then what else?
The last thing, deposits by clerk's office.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
On the first line, the clerk's office may choose to make its own deposit into a bank account. Does that mean the clerk has a separate bank account?
Town.
Into the town's bank account, not into a paid bank account.
That's
the okay. So let's make a note right here.
I think it's great that we're doing these, by the way.
Correct. Okay, I'm gonna check with Sherry on this one also. And Mary. Okay. Very good. Anything else on those? We'll review these, and I'm sure that we'll have them on next month's agenda.
Is there some advantage to us having these reviewed by our independent auditor?
All these are being audited right now by our independent auditor.
Not just audited, but reviewing the policies to make sure.
Correct.
So that we would have their blessing on the
others. I'll make sure that I talk to Ben on that also, which we should have that audit prepared for next month. So we'll be able to have Ben in here to run through that audit.
Thank you so much.
Yep. Okay, number eight.
So Scott, before you move on, I have some issues.
Okay.
I think that this has been put together by people who aren't doing it.
Okay.
As a procurement officer for the town,
okay.
I have some issues with some of this stuff.
Okay.
So, again, back on the cash sales receipt, if just looking at number two,
okay.
You have a bill that's gone over. You're telling the water secretary that they're going to pay half. This has not given them the authority to make those changes. You've taken away that authority that you've had. That might be an issue to you. It's not to me, but it might be to you.
What one do you want?
Number two on cash receipts at separate individual locations.
You're talking at the end of each week? Is that the one you're talking about?
Uh-huh. Number three is...
Explain what you just said again, that it's taking away what?
The ability of Emily to make those changes on a water bill that Scott's approved. So the person that's...
I don't agree. I don't see how that changes that at all.
If a transition needs to be voided or adjusted, it should be done by someone who does not receive the cash.
You're on number two?
Number three.
That's three.
You're transitioning to number... I don't see that being a problem in number two, but number three maybe.
Yeah, and so that would be the whole thing. Even on number two, that deposit will change based on what has been billed and what is paid.
And so the person who doesn't receive the cash is the mayor, and he is authorized as our administrator to make adjustments in cases of emergency or other kinds of issues. Let's just say somebody has an underground leak and they didn't know about it.
Right.
And their bill now is $2,000.
Right.
When it traditionally was $50.
Right.
The mayor has authority to look at that and make that kind of an adjustment if it's catastrophic or if there's no, you know,
if there's a reason,
an act of God, something that happened that we just didn't know about. You're saying that we don't have that right to make that adjustment?
I think Scott has that right, but as far as this reads, Emily can't go in and adjust that bill.
Correct. She doesn't have that authority. Only our administrator does. To make that adjustment, and he doesn't receive the cash.
Right, but she receives the cash in her mailbox.
And she cannot say, oh, okay, you're paid in full, or, oh, you're paying half now and half later.
Right. Not going to go change that bill.
No, if he has the authority to.
Right, but he has to instruct her to do that, and if you're going by number three, she can't do that. It cannot be adjusted.
If a transaction needs to be avoided or adjusted, it should be done by someone who does not receive cash.
Right.
That's the mayor.
Yeah, so he's going to tell her to adjust it, but he's not going to adjust it.
No.
On the billing, it's going to be Emily. See where you're going with that? You run up against a brick wall.
Maybe this for you. Okay, go ahead.
And again, I actually haven't seen those till I got here tonight.
Okay. This is for my first review as well.
Right. I do have some more, but I'd like to go through it and make sure.
That's why these were provided, is to go through them. So let's go through them.
Our auditor should point these things out as well. And so maybe you've got something very important here, and we can run that by you.
And that was my worry, is that you take the state code, and it doesn't fit our town because we have overlapping authority and jobs.
Well, it talks about department heads and all these.
Right.
How many department heads do we have?
Just one.
That's it. I mean, it's not a one size fits all.
Right. Yeah, that's what I worry. We pass this, they beat us up with this, and it doesn't fit.
I'm with you, Eric, on that. I agree.
Okay. We'll run this past Ben also.
Right.
Okay, number eight, council report. Start with you, Eric, Robin.
Yes, I have been working with the county on some weed issues, and Eric, can you give us a report on how we're doing with weeds along the town roadways?
So the entire roadway has been sprayed once. The up around the tank has been sprayed twice, up around our water tank up on that hillside.
I thought that was the case, and I wanted to be able to report to the weed board that indeed was the case, but thank you for verifying that. Second thing is, you've probably all received a note from some information from UDOT about the latest iterations of the planning for the realignment of the bypass roads. If you want to come and get additional information on the 9th at 6:30, there's an interlocal meeting, and I can guarantee you that bypass road is going to be one of the topics of conversation. So I will attend that meeting. It's at the city offices.
Or the city offices?
Excuse me, the county offices, in the county building, upstairs in their meeting room. And I think that's all I've got.
Thank you.
Eric?
I don't see anything on the agenda about the proposed August town hall meeting. Is that still happening?
It is. We've scheduled the building, and Mary...
The 11th?
Yes.
Yep. We have the senior citizens building scheduled, and there should be on the website, there should be an advertisement for that. Mary Duggan's been handling that for us. And so, yes, we are having that meeting.
Okay. My other question is about, I've had a couple of people call me about the Airbnb that is next to Jack Rose's property. Are we sending a letter into Airbnb to get that taken? Let's not take it down.
We're actually, we've actually got that in the attorney's office there, and they're writing the letter.
Great.
And I would imagine we'll be seeing that at any time.
Okay, thank you.
Gary?
So, talking about the attorney, so we discussed last month about what was going on 3000 South Mill Road with the temporary home or whatever they put in there. Has those letters been sent out?
They're
still in the attorney's office?
The attorney's office. Yep.
Okay.
Anything else? The only thing that I have to basically report on, Gary and I met the state up in Storm Haven on Saturday, and checked the septic tanks in Storm Haven. Everything's good up there. We won't be pumping those tanks this year, but we'll have to pump them next year. And so that was what was determined on Saturday.
Yeah.
When we were up there.
Definitely, yep, but we may get another year on the whole.
Correct. So definitely things going on. You have seen the fire restriction signs in Daniel that the fire marshals put out. No fireworks south of 3000 South. Basically, that's countywide. They have their own way of shutting down different fireworks, and if you watch the news recently, the state of Utah is in state one fire restrictions right now, so just so that you're all aware of that. I don't have anything else.
So the county is, we contracted the county to do some repairs on the Big Hall Road, is that correct?
We did, yes.
Okay.
They're working on that,
yeah,
slowly.
Well, I've seen a couple weeks down there. Yeah.
They're still working on it. They have a long ways to go.
Yeah.
They're going slowly, but the potholes they're fixing, they're doing it right.
Yeah.
Yeah, they've
cutting
cut
it out.
That's the good news. They're cutting it out, putting in new under layer and all that kind of stuff.
Okay, let's go to agenda item number 9, planning report. You have that in front of you, Eric.
Okay, while you're reviewing that, I apologize. I only brought 4 of these conditional use permits. So if you get done with that, will you hand that to Megan? Make sure it gets in our...
I have a copy of that, don't I?
I think you do.
Yep, you get that. I got that on Friday.
Okay.
So there you go. No.
Megan. Make sure that's in our packet because we're talking about it. So that is the conditional use that was issued. That went out to the applicant.
Mm-hmm.
Is there any questions on the report itself? Are you still looking over that? I do have a couple other items. Can we talk about it while you're looking? The trailer park water, we was taking over that contract from Central Utah Water. They have determined that that contract cannot survive a split to the town, that a new contract will have to be drafted. And so that was a determination that came out on a separate email stream.
So they can't transition that contract to us. We just need to enter an additional, a similar contract, but for the same amount, et cetera, et cetera.
I don't know how similar it is. They said they were drafting a new contract.
Okay.
And so I haven't had a chance to review that at all. I thought it was a fatal flaw in their application myself. But, I mean, we just...
They were the ones who recommended this, so...
Yes, yes. So I did get wind of that. Our Matt, our engineer, sent me an email chain that he was privy to, that the town was not privy to. And so I did call the attorney from the Division of Drinking Water that was over that. He has also sent an email out to them regarding the acquisition of that contract. I don't know what the new contract will say because it hasn't been drafted yet. So that's the one on the corner. They wanted to start construction, asking permission to start construction before everything was in done. Everything was wrapped up with that. I'm not comfortable with that at all. I talked to Scott and we just put the skid on the project because really they want the general contractor to pay that building permit, but the fees haven't even been cut from drinking water yet. So it's just cart before the horse type thing. And I understand, and I told them that in the email, I understand that time is an issue. However, for the town, time is not an issue. Yeah. It has to be done right. So
lack of planning on your part is not justifying
emergency. Right. And so we've kind of just, that's where that one's sitting. We talked about Matt from Jones and DeMille. This is the letter that they sent regarding Emily. We are making a slight change to our permit subdivision review process, trying to cut down some time. Our engineers and managers are spending setting up a task, tracking the process, and we are going to involve our team administrative assistant, Emily Hansen. Emily will be in charge of creating new tasks in the system for us to build to, create the needed project folders, fill out the information in the tracking spreadsheet, create reminders for appointments for reviewers to keep us on time, and do high-level complete list review of application. She's half price of what these other guys are doing. So after she's done what she'll do, then she will turn it over to conduct the needed reviews from the engineer spec sheets. So I thought that was, it's good that they're aware that we're watching the cost. The second item I have is, remember we got a grant for our general plan? So our part of that grant is $5,000. And so this is the billing they sent out today, I believe, even though it's dated June 10th. We just got an email today. So that will be for the town's $5,000 match.
Can we use some of that emergency money to pay that?
That's a very question. I don't know. I thought we had it all spent. She said she wasn't able to use some of that in some of those places that we had.
Are you talking about ARPA money?
I would think that this would be an excellent use of that.
Yeah, there were several things. I thought we had it all spent, but she said she can allocate to some of those accounts. So,
are you referring to the ARPA money that was left over?
And then the other item I have, we don't have a check yet, but I do have an application for a zone change on Christine Davis's property for the flower time.
Oh. A zone change to what?
They want to change the entire parcel to industrial. So we have an application, but we do not have a check.
Industrial for flowers.
We just went down the road on that a year ago.
It's the
Hadco Construction.
Hadco Construction owns it now.
Bought that property, and they're looking to put a shop, tear down the house, put a shop, and then offices in the front.
Okay, that makes sense.
And that's in a residential zone?
It is. The front is in a residential zone. And then the demolition without a permit down on the bottom of your report was Tom Rollins' house. They didn't get a permit from the town to do that.
Really?
They have a violation.
They did get a permit from the state?
We think.
But was there asbestos in there? Don't know.
I heard there were some pretty heavy suits over there, so. But I couldn't catch them there.
There's something about a requested information on a little Sweden zone change. Have we talked about that before?
On Little Sweden?
Brian Myers.
Oh, Brian, yeah. Remember, they've came to the planning commission. And we've requested lot creation documentation. The lot parcels don't line up with what the county map says. So they're trying to change zoning. We're looking at, was the lot created legally prior to doing a zone change?
Is that the house in Ernest Carey Stevens?
No, this is up, what's his name? Clear up the other end up by Nephi Turnelson.
Vic Hansen.
Vic Hansen's property.
Okay.
He has sold that.
I just saw some flags and stakes there on that property, and I knew there was some underlaps and overlaps.
Yes. And then we talked about Geneva. Geneva has, they've hired a guy from Santa Clara who's a planner. They've taken Grant off of the case. They want us to contact him directly. So it sounded like there was in-house.
A few meetings.
Yes. Irregularities.
Well, I certainly would like to meet this gentleman and have him show his face at one of our meetings.
And they will be coming because the conditional use doesn't have water attached, it doesn't have access attached, it has to be built to the town road. That's something you guys have to prove, is a town built to the road standards, so that has to come through here if there's any variance in that. So you're going to see a lot of things. There's a lot of things that aren't spelled out in that conditional use based on that it doesn't have to do with the planning commission. That's going to be a legislative action by this board.
Look forward to it.
Yes. So that's what they did, is they got rejected from the annexation. Let's talk about the annexation. The annexation has been rejected from the state because the property lines don't line up. They went and tried to get the lot line determination from the other owner would sign that. But they had a lot of signatures, but we have two owners that will not sign that.
So they were trying to go for a lot line adjustment.
Yeah. And so as a result, it leaves it open, and the state of Utah Lieutenant Governor's office won't sign off on it based on that those lines don't close. When we made the town, we had to make those lines close. Took several surveys to do that, but we made it. So they don't want to bring in the entire parcel. They only want to bring in the 7 acres that they're going to build on. So we still have another acre on the west side of that will still be in the county.
But I understand that the access they were trying to secure was the property owners were not able.
So they have talked to Heber City. We met with Heber City on some Daniel Road things, and they indicated that they had met with Geneva. And so their plan shows going down the north property line all the way down right behind the county transfer station for commercial over there, running all the way down to that road around the airport. So that's what their preliminary plan shows. And then I did give you a copy of the conditional use, so you have that. just for your information. That's enough for marriage, right?
Just one other thing. So we, Eric and I and Gary White met Geneva, this new guy from Geneva, and who was with him? I can't remember the kid's name, but...
I don't remember the kid's name either.
Yeah. We did meet with them on Friday. So we have been introduced to the guy that's taking over. But really, there was not a whole lot discussed. It was more of a meet and greet and where we at with this. And basically, we told them they were really nowhere. They needed to start over again.
Yeah.
So, okay.
His name is Greg Flint.
Greg. Okay.
So on that conditional use permit, some of the things that the Planning Commission put on there have not been discussed in any great extent. Number one of them being the water that they require for the plant.
They don't, the Planning Commission don't issue the water.
I understand that, but that's what stated on there. When they met with us before, they were talking about 37 acre feet of water annually to run that plant. And I don't see that stated anywhere through the commission or whether Planning Commission, whether that was discussed or not.
I don't think it was discussed. I think when water came up, they made the determination that it's not a Planning Commission item, that's town council. So that's why it doesn't appear on that.
So they just said, well, based on a will serve letter.
Yeah, it's totally opposite of what CMC did. They came with the water was the first thing. And these guys have just reversed those procedures.
So there's a lot of discussion that's got to be done on those conditional uses that's put on there before any consideration to allow that conditional use permit for Geneva.
Well, all that will have to be done before they get a building permit, for sure.
Yeah.
The conditional use runs separate, but the building permit will have to have all those items in check, along with the frontage, height built to the road standard, all those things that we checked off. Legislatively, it'll have to be done before.
I's dotted, T's crossed, the whole bottle of wax.
Yeah. Yeah, we're a long way from issuing a permit.
Yep. Okay.
Okay. Any other questions for Eric? Okay. Eric,
Thanks.
Okay, let's talk about agenda item number 10, Storm Haven and the Daniel Water Systems. Gary, I'll turn a little bit of time over to you. You can discuss that if you want to. Anything that we need to know?
Both systems are still there, and they're both running, and they're still being tested. Lead and copper tests were done, and our samples were done and sent, and they are back. And my understanding was that Mary Duggan sent a copy of each one of those to the addresses of the sampling addresses on the lead and copper. The Daniels system is due by the end of September on the lead and copper, and of course we have a bunch of other sampling that needs to be done on the Daniels system also and Storm Haven in a timely manner. And you already talked about the septic tanks, so our spring flow has dropped off quite a little bit in the last couple of weeks. So we're down to, I think, if I remember, 107 gallons per minute, I think. So the springs have dropped off for 90-something on one. And maybe it's 127. Anyway, they dropped considerably. Of course, we haven't had any moisture either. But.
Gary, and you would know, I mean, what's a historical low that we've got to, maybe during the peaks of the drought? Do you remember any of that?
I can recall back quite a few years ago of the lower spring being down in the high 80s and the upper spring being in like 18 or 19 gallons per minute.
That's probably as low as it's gotten, and obviously we...
Yeah, I haven't seen it that low since, and I can't remember what the circumstances exactly were on that. I think we was in a pretty drought year. That's been quite a few years ago. But...
I've seen 18 and 75.
You have?
Thank you, Gary, for your report.
The only other thing that I was going to add to this, they read the meters on the 30th, and we have 27 meters that aren't reading right now. So back last fall, we had almost, 75 or so, and so we have changed a few meters out. We have a few meters still coming, and we'll continue to swap those out as we get them. And other than that, we feel like things are on the water systems are running pretty good right now.
Well, we can get them ASAP if you want.
Correct.
I don't know. You know, I just got to pull the trigger. So if that's what you want to do.
I need you to give me a price on them, and then
20. Okay.
We'll make. We'll
the registers.
Just
done?
The registers. Yes.
Just the register.
There is four. You're right. There is four new meters up in the pump house.
Yeah.
That
just,
would be.
We just bought them a case at a time.
Yeah.
But the registers, the warranted registers, is what we couldn't get.
Yeah,
well, they still owe us some registers
according
on
to,
the warranty.
Yeah, according to Ted Curl, who now has a boss over him, he said that he could get them pretty fast if we wanted them. And I thought maybe we were going to try to do something with overall replacement type thing with some money we had, but that's not going to happen. So
yeah,
we'll get some registers coming.
Yeah. So I'm sorry, are you done?
Yeah.
I would just like to bring the council's attention to, I don't know if anybody's followed this, there's a proposed gravel pit up above. I believe it's within the protection zone for the Stormhaven system. They want to mine blue limestone. And it's a company out of Lehigh, and they're saying that state law allows them to move to a different location and mine the same stone under the same permit. Wasatch County told them no.
No way.
They wouldn't schedule the public hearing. This is all in the, if you follow the news on this, it's all in the news. They have sued Wasatch County because they wouldn't give them the public hearing, because the feasibility of that limestone that they're talking about down there is 7,000 feet down in Daniel Canyon. Mm-hmm. And I think that would be catastrophic to Oliver Springs.
Sure.
Let alone our well at Stormhaven.
Well, the aquifers are.
Yeah. So the Division of Drinking Water did send notice to anybody that I know of. I got notice from an old employee for the town that wrote and told me, you know, this is going on. So it's out right now for 20-day public comment at the division.
Drinking? Which division?
Of oil and mining. Oil and mining.
Oil, gas, and mining.
Yeah.
So what?
So they're showing the stockpiling of material. They are showing a berm along the creek. But if there's an accident, right, it's between the highway and the creek. If there's an accident, it's catastrophic for the town.
Yep.
Well, I suggest we pen a letter on our letterhead and basically express vehemently our opposition, simply because of the water sources that are there, plus that spring, that creek running down the canyon that has the potential of being polluted, which goes on down into other bodies of water. I mean, there's a numerous reasons why we should go on record absolutely vehemently opposing that.
I agree. That's why I'm bringing it to your attention.
Does that not fall under the Division of Mining? In the
oil,
state of Utah,
mining.
Oil, gas, and mining.
Yep, that's where it's at.
Has there been any publication in a local paper or any?
There's been a lot in the paper because they've sued Wasatch County.
Well, I know, but in the local paper, I mean, you know, I mean,
it's pretty in depth. You can read it in depth on the KCPW website. They've ran a couple of stories on that. You can read in depth on that. But that's, yeah, they've sued Wasatch County because they won't give them a public hearing just based on the feasibility. I mean, 7,000 feet down, all the water will go there. quite full.
Do you know the physical location in Daniels Canyon?
It's right across from that.
Where they're building that road now?
Well, I think that's a gravel pit. I don't think it's a road.
Well, that's a.
I think it's a gravel pit.
It is for now, yes. Okay.
Yeah. Well, they've conformed a division of oil and gas. They put up barriers, so I assume they're being regulated by them because those barriers went up. So
it's crazy.
But it's right across the road from that. And the reason that it's being public comment is they want to put a culvert in the creek and be able to cross it. So they're looking at a culvert to cross the creek. And so Brian, what's the sheep guy there?
That's Oakleberry.
Brian Oakleberry is the one that's leasing them that property.
That sounds just exactly like the Oakleberries.
So
first they want a ski resort, now they want a line down to hell and back.
So it's still open for public comment?
It is, until the 20th, I believe, of this
month. Okay.
Just so you're aware of that.
Yeah. I just took some notes here.
You guys really don't sleep at night, do you?
I didn't know that this was
going to happen. No,
won't now.
Okay.
Never heard of such a...
Well, send me an email. Obviously, I'm up reading it.
Anything else on the water systems? We're good there? Okay, let's go to agenda item number 11, recorder's office warrants, approval and announcements. Any questions for Megan?
I just have one regarding the computer nerds on the back page, meter reads and Lori's. Is that an ongoing thing, or is that something that
no.
we... That's just
yeah.
it's a one-time?
Right.
Okay.
Yep.
I think everything else looked pretty...
setting.
Okay. Call for a motion.
I'll move we approve the warrants for June 2025.
Do I have a second?
I'll second that.
Okay. Call for a vote.
Walton, yes.
Kohler, yes.
Yes.
Pearson, yes.
Okay. Agenda item number 12, approval of council minutes for June 2nd, 2025.
I'll make a motion.
Wait. I just have, in the public comment, Lynn Schinderling announced that Megan Goodrich was sworn in as deputy clerk reporter by clerk reporter Mary Duggan. Are we still in that same? Is Mary still the clerk and you're just the deputy?
Yep.
And how long do we anticipate that's going to go on?
I think, Mayor, do you have an answer?
I have an answer, about 30 more days, because we're trying to get through this audit and get through all this.
I never did see where Mary was appointed as the clerk reporter in the minutes.
I appointed her.
I think Robin was absent when she swore you in.
I actually had her go down to the county offices and we swore them in down there.
Yeah, I know, but when did she get approved in the minutes?
I'll have to go back and look at which set that was approved in, but that was a month ago or...
Probably 2 months ago.
2 months ago.
I think.
Yeah.
Are you sure?
I'll get you the answer. I don't have the answer right now, but I'll get it for you.
When did you go to, was it, you was in Hawaii?
This was the minute, these were the minutes that this was the meeting I missed.
Okay, really? Yeah.
When was Mary's morning? I'll get you that.
It doesn't necessarily when she was sworn in, I just like to see it in the minutes.
Correct.
I'll make a motion. We approve the minutes of June council meeting on June 2nd, 2025.
Okay, do I have a second?
I'll second
that. Okay, call for a vote.
Walton, yes.
Kohler, yes.
Bennett, yes.
Pearson, yes.
Okay. Call for a motion on agenda item number 14.
I make a motion that we adjourn the Monday, July 7th, 2015 meeting.
I have a second.
2025 meeting.
Okay. Eric beat me.
Call for a vote.
Walton, yes.
Kohler, yes.
Bannon, yes.
Thank you.
Sorry, maybe.
What was that?
That was a little wordy. I'm sorry.
Oh, what was?
All the stuff I had. I only had a while.
I got one.
Give them a heads up first.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.